What a great place to start a Sunday talk, yes? I believe in things that I cannot see because I know that there is a pattern for good, Dr. Holmes calls it, the power for good that is greater than we are that we can use, but that power is the pattern that is life, that is nature, that is here to heal, prosper, and bless every single one of us. And it is a real thing. There's no part of you that I can look into and see your potential, but it is there. You can't slice an acorn in half and actually see an itty-bitty, teeny-tiny little oak tree. But there's a possibility and a pattern that is there in that little hunk of mush that is an oak tree, and that is true for every single one of us. And we have a very creative and demanding part to bring forth that good. This is part of the growing in self-awareness that I like to talk about. I find it endlessly fascinating, and there are so many different ways that we can talk about it. And one of the things I want to talk about this morning is going to be treatment and the role of our affirmative prayer in creating the life of your desire. But I want to start with an awareness that I had that came to me while I was preparing for this. And, you know, all y'all know that I was in TV. I was at this thing a couple of weeks ago, and someone said to me, "Didn't you used to be in TV?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Would you work on Gunsmoke?" And I said, "Gunsmoke?" I said, "No, I was Hoss on Bonanza. Didn't I work on Gunsmoke?" Good Lord. Be that as it may, I was in the show business ever so briefly, and I was in post-production, really. And it was at that exact month when technology started to change for the first time. And my job was to get the filming into the shape of a TV show so that it could be broadcast. And it was the month where we started using digital technology and computers for the very first time. The pilot was cut with razor blades and scotch tape on film. That's how film has always been made since it was invented, I guess, in the 1890s by Thomas Edison. And this was the moment. I realized that there was going to have to be something different because there were continual meltdowns between some of the artistic people and the new technological people, that they were speaking different vocabulary. And it was impacting getting the thing actually done. And this idea came to me, a divine idea, when I thought, you know what, my job here is to be a good client. Now that's counterintuitive. Why should I be a good client? I'm giving you money. You be a good vendor. You know, that's pretty much the way we show up in life. But I thought, if I'm going to have an experience that is not an ongoing nightmare, and realizing that, you know, whether I'm a client or a vendor, it really doesn't matter, but there's one relationship and we have a similar goal. As Dr. King said, you know, we are woven together in a garment of mutuality. There really isn't any separation. I'm responsible for the quality of the experience that I'm bringing to this encounter between the traditional film editor and the now digital online editor. I am responsible for creating not only the product but the quality of the experience, and so I'm going to be a good client by learning the different vocabulary to make sure that these things happen in a reasonable fashion. When I moved back to town 3 years ago, and I have bumped into a couple of folks that I used to work with in various capacities, some musicians and some DPs and other folks, they all said to me, you know, working with, you know, Matlock was the show I worked on. This was not art, high art we were making. But they said, you know, I have only the fondest, most joyful memories of working with you more than anybody else. And I know it was because I decided I was going to be a good client. I made it my responsibility to be prepared to walk into every scoring session, to walk into every second unit shoot, knowing what was required, what I needed to bring, and what I needed them to achieve for me. I knew what success looked like, which also included coming in on time and under budget, as well as what the product was that I had to walk away with. And as a result, I was happy. It wasn't my money coming out of my checkbook, but I was responsible for monitoring the budget, and I was happy to exchange cash for that job well done, for that experience that was both creative and joyful. And I was very proud at the time that we were 8 years on time and under budget, and that I don't have any nightmare stories to tell you about television. It was great. It really was. It was very creative. It unfolded in joy and ease almost the whole time. But it's because I knew that it was my responsibility to show up knowing what was mine to do, knowing what was expected of you, and ready and willing to receive a great result. I continue to use this idea of one of my desires is to be a good client. I've said that to the folks that own this wonderful theater. I said, you know, my relationship with you is really important. I want to make sure that we are a good client. And again, this is fairly counterintuitive. Because to repeat, we mostly show up and pay bills like it's a fine for being alive. And you can't go through life like that. I want to give, if it's of the company's resources or blessed the church's resources or my personal ones, I want to give out of my joy of knowing what I want, what success looks like, knowing that you can participate in my success, and then my exchanging good. And if that's cash, great. That's what being a good client is about. And net, 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 the result is that you have a great experience of life. And you see things in right relationship with each other. I know I certainly feel like that when I go to the dry cleaner. I am so happy for them to do my clothes for me, and they go, that's $22. And I go, oh, what a blessing. Here, take it. I have no intention. I've never owned an iron in my life. I have no intention of doing that for myself, and you'll do that for only $22? God bless you. Do they like me at Hollyway? Yes. You know you've been to the dry cleaner, and there's always somebody there, and they're looking at the shirt, and they're doing this. What is this spot? What is this dot? I want to say, stop it. Be grateful. Go home. Stop complaining. It's being a good client. Being a good client in your life, too. You know? Now, one of the things that we do here is that we have an affirmative prayer technique that we call spiritual mind treatment. This is a term that was coined by Mary Baker Eddy, who was the founder of Christian Science. It was adopted by Ernest Holmes in the 1920s, and we have carried several and many of the traditions from Christian Science through Religious Science forward, and they have been terrific and fantastic. But here's one of the things that we're changing. In the past, there has always been not an implied but an articulated understanding that if you, as a client, want to approach a practitioner, that there is an exchange of cash that is required, that one pays for the honor of being treated for. And as of today, we're taking that out of the equation. If somebody asks me to treat with them, I have one expectation, that you will heal. I do not expect $2, I do not expect $35, which is the going rate at the other centers. I have one expectation, that you will be successful in creating what it is you want to create, be it the physical healing, the improved situation at home. Reframing your whole life experience from one being a white-knuckle experience to one being one that unfolds truly in ease and grace. I only have one expectation. That is the work of the practitioner. And frankly, it's why we sign up to do it. There are 13 of us that do this work here. It's why we sign up to do it. Why? Because it blesses me. It blesses me as the practitioner to have the opportunity every time I get to see you as a miraculous unfoldment of life and divine mind in this world, here to express something unique and spectacular. Who wins? I do. I believe that the time of thinking that we pay in advance for treatment, like the way you go to the doctor, you ain't getting out of there without somebody paying for it, right? I want to take that out of the equation because I want to build a consciousness in the center of that we are people that are busy creating things, and if you choose, there are practitioners that will support you in the spiritual aspect of that. This is a unique resource for the creation of the greatest work of art, which is your life. But, how are you going to be a good client? If I am the vendor, he who is willing to pray with you, to treat with you, and we always say with, we never say for. I cannot pray for you. I cannot do that any more than I can go on vacation for you. I can go on vacation with you, and we can have a shared experience. Why? Because there is this garment of mutuality. But I can't have any experience for you, and I cannot treat for you. I cannot pray for you. I can know things with you that you may have gotten worn down, or you are tired or discouraged, and you have forgotten. I can know them with you. And what is critical is that as a client, individually, we all accept the responsibility of being a good client. And what is that? Knowing exactly what the healing looks like. Most importantly, being willing to receive the good. I never walked into a scoring session without all the musicians being hired, without the music contractor being there, without the mixers being there, and without the show having been spotted so we know where all the tracks were lying in. I knew exactly what had to happen, and you had 3 hours to make it happen. I knew exactly what we were hoping for, and yet I didn't know the work that the composer had done, so there was a surprise to me, music cue by music cue, what might show up in that particular place. But lo and behold, after 3 hours, you walk out of there with the possibility of an entire scored television episode. You approach a practitioner and ask for treatment. You are willing to be surprised and amazed and perhaps delighted by what you hear and what your practitioner helps you remember, but you have every intention of carrying that forward to completion yourself, because a practitioner cannot do that for you. Sometimes it's good to try and imagine what is an image that I can use about this relationship? What does a practitioner do for me? If you will, if the fire has gone out, the practitioner reignites the fire. And then what do you have to do? Keep it alive. By your lively expectation that this good will appear in your life, and there is nothing in you that's going to block its demonstration, there's nothing in you that's going to block at a conscious or subconscious level the possibility of it coming to full fruition in your life. You see, you can't hand somebody a check for $35 and say, treat for me and make it happen. I'm letting myself off the hook when I do that. And I'm holding you responsible for something that you can't possibly be responsible for. But what is the fullness of this as well? Is giving a gift back as well. You know, I'm sure I speak on behalf of the practitioners that when you demonstrate, they would be happy and honored to receive an offering from you. Sure. And why wouldn't you? If you go to a practitioner because you need right work and you're treating and all of a sudden, you know, you get this fantastic job, I mean, you know, you should be tithing to that practitioner for the rest of your life. What is this $35? How much is enough? We're willing to spend $400,000 to have a certain operation, but you know, if you experience a healing, and I have in my life and in my body, you know, I'm going to give somebody $35. Thanks for working the divine mind for me, pal. It's a whole new way of thinking about it, but I invite everybody to be non-resistant to thinking about this and to begin really refocusing on the fact, you know, that you, every one of us, is here as an expression of life. A dynamic that we use metaphors for, calling it God mind, divine mind, life, law, love, principle, whatever has meaning for you. But every one of us is here to do something quite particular. And you have a unique resource available to you here at the center. And that is by means of people, good men and women who know, see, we don't have any faith. We know that treatment is an active ingredient in the creation of all things that are good. We know that. We are beyond ideas of belief and disbelief. And so that we are willing to stand with you in agreement of the good that you are seeking, of what it is that you want to create in your life. But know also is that we are upping the game here as we grow in consciousness, knowing that one must be a good client. One must be ready to receive. And ultimately, one must be willing to give back to life part of the blessing that comes to you by means of service, appreciation, an offering. It all matters. It all matters. You know, on Friday night, I bumped into Bunny and Reverend Keith at the new Annenberg Theater in Beverly Hills because I wanted to see Martha Graham Dance Company that was there. And they had some early material, which I had never seen. I was familiar with a lot of the later work, but they had early material. And you know, when you look at somebody like, or someone's work like Martha Graham, you know, this work still is fierce with reality. And every one of us has that possibility. As long as we're not so worried about what my mother's going to say, or worried about how this is going to work, or worried about, you know, you have to say no thank you to so much stuff that's holding the whole planet back. But to be brave, and to be brave is to be a nonconformist, to be brave in declaring what matters to you, what are the values that you really hold important in your life, and to find practices and activities that make sure that you move these values into your life. This is the point. I know this kind of sounds downbeat, but you know, if we don't really know what our values are, and if we really don't take advantage of the life that we have, we're wasting this incarnation. Maybe we'll get to do it some other place at some other time, I don't know. But I do know that we have opportunities here. And we have a certain amount of time, and we do not know how much time that is. But while we're here, we do have the opportunity to be fierce with reality and to be an individual. This is one of the few places on the planet that philosophically and spiritually supports in this lifetime your individuation and your individuality. I invite you in every possible way you can to take advantage of that and live your life full out. God bless you, friends. I sure appreciate you.